The Cookie Thief by Valerie Cox. A woman was waiting in an airport one night with several long hours before her flight. She hunted for a book in the airport shop, bought a bag of cookies, and found a place to drop. She was engrossed in her book but happened to see the man sitting beside her, as bold as could be, grabbed a cookie or two from the bag in between, which she tried to ignore to avoid a scene. So she munched the cookies and watched the clock as this gutsy cookie thief diminished her stock. She was getting more irritated as the minutes ticked by, thinking, well, if I wasn't so nice, why, I'd blacken his eye. With each cookie she took, he took one too. When only one was left, she wondered, what will he do? With a smile on his face and a nervous laugh, he took the last cookie and broke it in half. He offered her half as he ate the other. She snatched it from him and thought, oh, brother, this guy, he's got some nerve and he's also rude. Why, he didn't even show any gratitude. She'd never known when she'd been so galled and sighed with relief when her flight was called. She gathered her belongings and headed to the gate, refusing to look back at the thieving ingrate. She boarded the plane and sank in her seat, then sought her book, which was nearly complete. As she reached in her baggage, she gasped with surprise. There was her bag of cookies in front of her eyes. If mine are here, she moaned in despair, the others were his, and he tried to share. Too late to apologize, she realized with grief that she was the rude one, the ingrate, the thief. I'm Chris Story, live from on top of the world in Homer, Alaska. You were born to live on top of the world.
I see trees that are green, rare roses too, and I see them bloom for me and for you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies.
Well, welcome to the program and joining me here on Top of the World. What I really want to talk about with both of you, Dana and Aaron, is Story Knife, this writer's retreat here in Homer, Alaska. But Dana, I can't have you on the program and not ask you about your books. You're a New York Times bestselling author, Edgar Award-winning author with your first novel, your first Kate novel in 1994. New book out, I guess, this year with Spoils of the Dead. You've got another one coming up. I'd love to hear all about it. But as a writer, nobody knows better, probably, the need for space and time to write. And that must have been the genesis for the idea of Story Knife.
It absolutely is. In 1989, the first year that the Hedgebrook Retreat, which is the first women retreat for women writers, came into existence on Whidbey Island in Puget Sound. There was an article about it in the Anchorage Daily News, and a friend made me apply, and so I did, and they accepted me. So I went to Hedgebrook for their very first year that they were in business, and they had these beautiful cottages, and I couldn't believe that they built them just for us. And then it was the first time I ever met other writers, and it's the first time anybody ever acted around me like writing was a real job. And I always knew I left with an obligation. I mean, I felt that I had a serious obligation to give back if I possibly could. And I found the land in Homer to build it on in 2004, and I found Aaron in, I forget what year, Aaron, as our executive director in 2015, and there was just no going back from there, and we're in business this year. Yay.
I love it, and it's a great website. You can go check it out and you can see the cabins and figure out how to apply and so forth. Aaron, so you get involved, what was your background? Are you also a writer? Where did you come into the picture?
I'm a published poet. So I'm a writer, but not the way Dana is a writer. She is a a very prolific and successful writer, but I am a poet, and I've been to a lot of writers' residencies myself, so that's where I came in.
Well, and I have to say, when you put the word published in front of poet, there's a lot of legitimacy there, right there. So you've got all the street cred you need to be to be part of this, no doubt. That's pretty incredible. Storyknife.org is the website if you're interested in following along at home. So Aaron, so Dana comes to you with this idea, and you say...
I say, I would do anything I can to help you make this a reality. And since I have worked in several nonprofits over the last 20-some-odd years in Alaska, I had a few things to offer. So you started out with me just doing a few things and have worked up to me being the executive director.
Dana, talk to me about the name Story Knife. Where, there must be something behind that.
Oh, yeah, there's a big whole long story. I'll try to keep it brief. it's named after a physical object which actually hangs in the library, on the wall of the library, in Storyknife right now. It's a brooch that was given to me by my friend, Catherine Gottlieb. She's the one who chivied me into applying to Hedgebrook in the first place, and she gave me the Storyknife just before I went into the banquet to win the Edgar Award. So it was always going to be named Story Knife. And it comes from an Alaska Native tradition. The Yupik word is, I'm going to mispronounce this horribly, Yihaduin. And it's a thing where the story knives are, these are actual knives, not cutting knives, but knives that are carved from wood or bone. And the older girls take the younger kids out and draw stories in the mud of riverbanks or in snowbanks. Basically, they're keeping the kids entertained, and basically all the stories are about children who disobey their parents and then are killed and eaten by monsters. So they're teaching stories.
Right.
And it seemed like just about the perfect thing to call Story Knife.
That's fantastic. Aaron, the applications are available for a limited period of time. We're having this conversation in mid-September. There's still time, as we have this conversation, for women to apply for a residency, right?
There sure are. We closed down at the end of September, and on our website is a very detailed discussion of what you need to apply, like what physical thing you need to have. You need to have 10 pages of written material that you've produced in the last 2 years. And then there are a couple questions we ask people to fill out. But what people should know is that the writers here are here on the basis of the strength of their writing. So the adjudicators don't even see the writers, the applicants' names, or any of the answers to the questions that that these people are here based solely on the strength and promise of their writing.
And Dana, I would ask you then, who is this for? So we've narrowed it down. It's for women. And let me ask you that first. Why exclusively women? There must be something behind that as well.
There are plenty of writers' retreats out there, Chris. Most of them are mixed gender. There's only one other than us that is specifically for women, and that's Hedgebrook, and now Story Knife, following in Hedgebrook's tradition. And it is... very important. Women are still underrepresented in publishing, in all aspects of publishing. And they're also still the primary caregivers of their families, normally. And they're the ones who most need the time and the space and the inspiration of that view to do their work. They're worth it.
I love that. And I being the father of two daughters who are both their parents and, as you say, primary caregivers, and also pursuing their own arts in different avenues and walks of life, I can see this as being a huge advantage and a real gift. And so talk about then who. Like, you're talking about, okay, you've got to have 10 pages of writing. Are you looking for, you don't have to be published, in other words, to get to Story Knife.
Aaron, why don't you take that?
Yeah, you don't have to be published to be part of Story Knife. When we say writers, we mean the gamut. We mean fiction writers and novelists and popular fiction writers and poets and memoirists and
playwrights
and playwrights and journalists. And so it can be people who are just starting. And they need this space to really explore. It can be people who are fairly far along their route and need some place to retreat to, especially after this year of being, you know, homeschooling their kids and being in one small place, perhaps. And what we do is we are just looking for writers who are showing promise. We like to tell the story of one of our residents when it was just one at a time in Dana's guest cabin, who came, and she was a high school English teacher up in Iksilvik. And after being there for a month, she decided that she would go back to school and get her Master's of Fine Arts and really seriously pursue her writing, because she spent a month doing it and she wanted to devote the time to do it. So it can be women at any stage in their career.
And Dana, I would ask you, is mentorship part of it? I mean, obviously you're an incredible name in the literary world and you have a huge following around the globe in everything from sci-fi to mystery. Is there mentorship involved, or is this just a space to get away from the daily grind and really focus on your writing?
This is about building a community for themselves. Mm-hmm. This is a community that will, if they choose it to, it will benefit them all through their lives as writers and probably as women as well. I have dinner with them once a month. And just to, you know, say hi. And, you know, it's my one perk as the Story Knife founder is I get to meet these women once a month. And Story Knife was Hedgebrook was the first place that ever acted around me like writing was a real job. And I said that to one of the writers last month. And she looked me in the eye and she said, Story Knife is the first place that's ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. And there, I've told all the writers that I've met so far that the community is about them. Building the community is all about them. It's going to be what they make it. But I told them what the community at Hedgebrook had done for me. One of the things that it did was I met Greg Bear very early on, long before I was published. And he's a huge science fiction writer, globally read, global bestseller. And he was kind enough to treat me, you know, like a real person and to give me a whole bunch of good advice, which I miraculously took most of. And it's one of the reasons that Story Knife exists to this day, at this moment, is because of Greg Bear and my taking his advice. I never would have met Greg Bear if I hadn't been at Hedgebrook with Kathleen Alcala, my co-writer in residence, and she introduced me to Greg Bear shortly after that. You don't know what this community is going to give you as a writer. You don't have any idea how beneficial to you it will be until, you know, they build it and until some years down the road. And it's up to them. You know, some of these people are going to wander off, lose orbit, and we'll never hear from again. But I hope that enough of them will cohere into a group that will sustain them down through the years of their profession. Aaron has created a Facebook page so that they can all go there and talk to each other, whether they were at Story Knife together or not.
That's speaking of community. I mean, that's really one of the advantages of social media for people that want to pull away from the darker side of social media and actually connect with each other and keep that connection. I think that's really cool. Aaron, this food, I'm on your site right now, and this food looks amazing. I want to go. I want to go and eat, if nothing else.
We have been lucky enough to bring into Story Knife the chef Maura Brennan, she is an amazing chef, but more than that, she is an amazing asset in that she makes the writers feel nurtured in many different ways. It's not just the beautiful food she makes for them and specially cooks for those who have allergies and food sensitivities, but also she's here when they gather in the evenings for dinner, and she is part of their community. And 201, almost all of them, as I'm taking them to the airport at the end, say that they felt nurtured and welcomed and cared for, and that is in great deal due to Maura.
I'm not surprised by much of what I'm hearing. I knew this would be an inspirational conversation. Dana, you've been writing for a long time. You mentioned going to that first retreat for you in, what did you say, 88, 89. Been successful almost since day one. I know you told me once before you had three novels I think you had published that hit the shelf with a mighty thud, as you described it, and then one that took off. And I guess I would just ask you if you would share right here, right now, for anybody that's maybe not going to be attending Story Knife, but is struggling in their own craft, be it writing or something else, what's the secret to persevering to the other side?
Writing every day. I mean, there's no magic button. There's no secret handshake or a password or anything like that. It's the butt in the chair and the chair in front of the laptop and your hands on the keyboard. You write every day. Even if it's just one sentence a day, it's a sentence more than you had the day before. And, you know, by the end of the month, maybe you've got a chapter, and by the end of the year, maybe you have a book. But you have to write every day. For one thing, you can't leave a book in the middle and then come back to it months later and think that you're going to be, like, not have to start completely over with it because you can't remember anything that's in it. You have to write every day. You have to work at the story you're working on, and you have to work at the craft every day.
That's good advice for writers or non-writers of anything you're aspiring to. Dana, thank you for that. And Aaron, thank you for being here. The website is storyknife.org, storyknife.org. Go check it out. There's an opportunity for you to donate. If you want to just support this, there's an opportunity to do that and put some of your own energy into what appears to be, I think, just a world-class opportunity. Thank you so much, both of you.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.